I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Live Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mint Climate Change Tracker, a podcast where we talk about the challenges posed by a rapidly heating planet. I'm your host, Bibek Bhattacharya. Folks, there has been an important development this week. For the first time, India's Ministry of Earth Sciences has released a national report on the state of the climate crisis and how it affects the country. So what does the report say? The most important takeaway is that India's average temperature has increased by almost 1 degree Celsius between 1901 and 2018. Since global heating is accelerating, by 2099, it might increase by an unimaginable 4.4 degrees Celsius. That will make India uninhabitable. The report also says that soon summer heat waves will be stronger and also last longer, that sea levels around the country are rising at an alarming rate, that the Indian Ocean is heating up so much, destructive cyclones will become even more frequent. The monsoon will become more and more erratic. There will be long dry spells and then sudden cloud bursts. Floods and droughts will exist side by side. It's a scary world for us, but think how awful it'll be for our children. In our pursuit of a frictionless life, we will keep burning oil and coal in the name of progress and leave a scorched earth behind. In fact, India is about to launch coal mine auctions. Now, it's also very important that you talk to children, educate them about climate change. They need to know exactly what's going on. It isn't easy, perhaps. You might think, why should we scare them? But you know what? They deserve the truth. My 6-year-old niece, Sia, she deserves to know the truth. But how do we talk to children and young adults about the climate crisis? For this, I will turn to my guest today, author and publisher Bijal Vacharajani. Bijal is an editor with the children's publishing house Pratham Books. She is also an award-winning writer of children's books, both fiction and non-fiction. In fact, I loved reading her novel from last year called A Cloud Called Bhura. In it, a brown cloud of pollution suddenly appears in Mumbai one day, sparking a group of children into action, as they first find out more about pollution and climate change, and then they pressure the government to do something about it. The book was fun, it was gripping, and also informative. So let's ask Bijal how it's done. Hi Bijal, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Hi Vivek, thank you so much for having me on Mint Climate Tracker. I am a big fan of your writing.
Thanks a lot. And I am a huge fan of A Cloud Called Bhura. I loved reading it when it came out last year. So that's the basis of my first question, is that why is it important to write about climate change for children?
Some years ago, Guardian did this big story. It was called Climate Change is the Biggest Story of Our Time. And I just think that we need to talk to children about the fact that they are going to inherit an earth that will be having a changed climate. Hmm. And it's only fair that children know what's happening to their planet,
right,
and what needs to change to mitigate climate change. And I think fiction and literature, even nonfiction, are great ways to get children and young adults to navigate these complex issues. And I am a big fan of Rachel Carson, and something she had written in The Sense of Wonder has really stuck with me. She wrote this line saying, if a child is to keep alive his inborn sense of wonder, he needs the companionship of at least one adult who can share it, rediscovering with him the joy, excitement, and mystery of the world we live in.
Correct.
And I kind of always transferred it slightly to literature, and I feel like the child needs the companionship of books, which help him or her rediscover the mystery of this natural world.
Right. Now that's a great reason to write for children about this. So it come from there. I'd like to ask, how can adults talk about the climate crisis with children without, say, alarming them? I mean, how do you maintain the balance between, say, an emotional pitch and information?
You know, I think firstly, accepting the fact that children are fairly resilient, they can handle the truth.
Mm.
So tell them the truth. It's important to share facts. Children are naturally curious.
Right.
And we, as adults, have to do this, but we can't be preachy about it, because the moment you're pedantic or you start talking down to children, they know it and they switch off completely. The other thing is, when you're talking to them about the climate crisis, it's also unfair to put them, alarm them to the extent that they feel, oh no, I have to do something. No, they have homework to do. So don't place the burden on them, because making them anxious won't help. Instead, first listen to their concerns, answer them in the best possible way. And of course, there are sometimes in classrooms, you know, if a child asks a question and I don't know the answer, I always tell them I'll get back to them, and I inform the teacher later on. And as adults, I think it's okay not to know, because climate is a fairly complex topic. And as a climate journalist, I think you know that very, very well. So tell them you look it up, or invite them to look it up along with you. Give them the realistic scenario. But also, I think one of the key ingredients to this is you need to give hope. Talk to them about people who are taking action, who are part of, who are change makers, who are doing good work. And you'll see children responding immediately.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, say, giving this same information, I mean, doing exactly what you just talked about, through the prism of fiction, how does the messaging change? Or does it?
I think it's something very simple. When it comes to fiction, the most important thing is the story and not the message.
Right.
The message is always part of the story. But if you start writing a book by saying that I'm going to write a book about the human activities that have caused climate change, and it's going to be a fiction book, I really don't know how many people are going to read it.
Right.
So I think with fiction, you always need to start with a story. For instance, with The Cloud Called Bura, my whole question was, what if a brown cloud came and hovered on top of Mumbai? How would right. people react to it? And uh-huh. from there, it became this larger piece about climate change and things like that. Mm-hmm. The other thing about fiction, I think, is that you can traverse different timelines. You can go into the future. You can go into the past.
Mm-hmm.
You can scale geographies in many ways, in different ways. So it gives you this huge landscape to play with. And, you know, we all grew up on a steady diet of fairy tales.
Right.
You know, so I think making it dark is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But making sure it doesn't talk down to children or it comes with a big, heavy dose of message,
right.
then it'll be like medicine, and nobody wants that.
Right. I mean, you do need to keep it fun and engaging to begin with.
Definitely. Definitely.
Right. So now, Bijal, you are also an editor with Pratham Books. And so I wanted to get an idea of when it comes to children's publishing in India, are you seeing more and more such stories coming out, like, you know, which kind of address concerns such as the environment and the climate crisis?
So it's interesting that you asked that, because internationally, I know they're calling it the Greta Thunberg effect,
right,
about these new books about eco-warriors and climate change that are coming up. In India, I think we're slower when it comes to climate change for children. I have seen a handful of nonfiction books. Of course, there's some stellar writing that has been consistently done by, say, Ranjit Lal. He's talked about wildlife constantly in not only his columns, but also his children's books. Like Tigers of Taboo Valley that he wrote is such a fantastic tongue-in-cheek account of a tiger in a national park. But it also brings to forefront the issues of poaching, the use of pesticide and declining vulture populations. So I think Ranjit Lal has been, his book with Doug Bill on the Tens series, 10 animals to about 10 endangered animals, is again almost like a clarion call about climate change. I've also seen that there are lots more books for younger audiences, like picture books that talk about wildlife and talk about some of the issues that we are facing. But I do think that it's a trend that's that's going at a snail pace here.
Right. But tell me, I mean, personally, with the books you've written, especially Cloud Called Bura, what have been some of the, like, really gratifying moments for you with, like, you know, children or young adults reading them?
I actually got a chance to take Bura to a bunch of festivals and classrooms. And I've had a blast doing this, because I think children really respond to, like, I've written a non-fiction about climate change as well as fiction, and I've realized children respond to both of them in very different ways. With Bura, there's a lot more question about the characters and their agency when it comes to creating change, and how they can be part of that. And I found that really fascinating. I think they all enjoy the pop culture references. A lot of them, I think, felt like some of the questions that I've asked them is that, what would you do if this was to be in your city? And most of the children, and it's quite interesting, because the children in the room will always say, but I will do something to change it. And the adults will be like, we'll get a mask. So the differences are very stark. With my nonfiction book, I think one of my favorite things was this letter I got from this young reader. Her name is Arya Gujar. And she wrote to me saying that after she finished it, she had so many questions. And she said, I really want to do something. And then she talked about how she's planning to bring her friends together to do something about trash in their community. And then she said that she's observing this little beautiful butter yellow and chocolate brown snail in her garden, and she's calling the snail Rain. So I thought there was not, just the fact that she's out there looking at snails was something lovely.
Now, before you go, I'd just like to ask you, when it comes to talking to children about difficult subjects like this, what is the first thing that you should keep in mind?
I think really two things. One is, don't talk down to them.
Right.
Children are just so smart. They know when somebody's talking down to them. Mm. It's the tone, it's the messaging, all of that. You need to be very careful of that. Because you can break down your word to make the concept much more simpler.
Right.
But you don't make it simplistic. So the first thing is, you talk to a child like how children talk to each other, how they process facts. And the second thing is, I do think, and this is something I feel very strongly about, says the person who writes very dark books. My next climate book is very, very dark.
Okay.
is to give a message of hope.
Great. And ultimately, that's the most important thing, is that message of hope.
Yes, I think so. Because children believe, and not only do they believe, they care. And once they're on the side of the planet, which they inherently are, they then want to do something about it.
Thanks a lot for joining us on this program, and all the best for your future books.
Thank you so much, Vivek.
That was writer and publisher Bijal Vacharajani speaking about why it's important to talk about climate change with children. Check out her latest book, which is called 10 Indian Champions Who Are Fighting to Save the Planet, co-authored with Radha Rangarajan. That's it from me today. Join me next week as I speak to a special guest and also bring you up to speed with news of the climate crisis. Follow this podcast and my column in Mint Lounge on Twitter with the hashtag MintClimateTracker. Follow HT Smartcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the handle HT Smartcast. We'd love to hear from you. So write to us at podcasts@hindustantimes.com. Listen to more podcasts on htsmartcast.com and subscribe to this one on any of your favorite platforms, including Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, Google, and JioSaavn. I am Vivek Bhattacharya, and you've been listening to the Mint Climate Change Tracker. See you all next week. And remember, the climate clock is ticking.
This was a Live Mint production, brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.